everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today. We are here with another Hallmark Publishing author. This is so exciting. We are here talking about Rachel McGee's new book, Beach Wedding Weekend. And we have the author, Rachel McGee, here. This is going to be a lot of fun. And I'm Rachel, and Lisa's actually here as well.
Hi, guys.
And Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you. So what we like to do for our podcast is we like to give our interviewees a chance to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become a writer.
Well, I'm Rachel. I started writing when I wrote my first book when I was 12. Just because I've had stories in my head and have been writing since I was a little kid. So it was just a natural thing for me. It's fun to put all the stories down on paper. So that's kind of how I got into it. It was my husband who actually said, you should do something with all of these stacks of manuscripts you have. And he was the one that pushed me into publishing.
So you were awesome. Always just kind of writing, scribbling your ideas down and yeah.
Even when I was little. And I could see something, and even now I'll be someplace and think, this would make a great story. And then the characters and stories just start to kind of fall in place. So that's where a lot of my inspiration comes from, trips that I've been on or places that we visited or crazy people that we sit next to in the restaurant. So if you talk too loud, I'm just telling you, it might at some point make its way into my book.
That's amazing. Like, so are you more of a plotter, or do you wait and let the characters tell you?
No, I am a plotter. Yeah. I tried the pantser method once. Mm-hmm. And then it was a train wreck. I ended up nowhere. And you kind of look at it and think, where do you go from here? So I am a total plotter. I sit down with, and I'm an old school plotter. I sit down with a stack of note cards and write it all out on these note cards. Oh, wow. And then I have stacks of note cards for each book, and with plot points, and things get scratched out and names change, and I go back and change them in my note cards. So that way they can kind of move stuff around, or if something just doesn't work, you can throw away one, but not all of them. And that's awesome. So old school note cards with a pen.
This is my favorite thing to ask writers, because I'm just so fascinated by the journey it takes from the idea to the, you know, and how people like process it all. And so do you ever find when you discard like a note card, do you ever keep anything for maybe use on something else, or you're like, it's over, I'll never use this again?
No, I keep them. Yeah. Sometimes they, ideas turn up in other books. There are characters that have turned up in other books. And really one thing that happens when I'm writing is as secondary characters start to develop, they always end up with their own story. So a good example of this one would be Sasha kind of evolved as the book went on, and as her character became more developed, to now I'm dying to tell the rest of her story. Oh, so we'll
is that a hint?
How that goes. It's are not. That's okay, maybe. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
But all three of the friends, anytime I develop a character, all of a sudden now they have a really interesting story that I need to tell. So yeah, definitely those tossed away note cards go in a special place and sometimes get pulled back out for other things.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, cool.
So did you have particular books that you loved to read growing up that you were a particular fan of?
I'm a big fan of Jane Austen. So I think I was the only one in high school English that thought, yes, let's read Pride and Prejudice again, and Sense and Sensibility. And I would read these things for pleasure, not just when they were assigned. I like a lot of the American authors. Like, I love F. Scott Fitzgerald. But I also love, you know, I've always loved romance. I like cozy mysteries too.
Me too.
And I was a big fan of the public library. I was just, since we're in town this weekend, where I grew up, we just passed the public library that I used to go to as a kid. So I was showing my husband, that's where I used to go. We'd walk down here in the summer and pick out all of our books. So from a very early age, I read a lot across all kinds of genres.
Oh, that's awesome.
Romance kind of always was one that resonated with me. Yeah, that's I like really the happy cool. endings.
Yeah, you definitely weren't the only one who liked Jane Austen in high school. This was actually, I think, when I was 17. During winter break, I first read *Sense and Sensibility*, and I was just like, "This is such a great book! I love it!" And I read the main ones over the next like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I devoured them. I think I read *Pride and Prejudice* next, and then *Persuasion*, and then *Emma*. And then *Sense and Sensibility* was the first one, but that was the one that first drew me in. So she's so great.
*Sense and Sensibility* is still my favorite Jane Austen. Yeah. I like *Emma* too, and *Pride and Prejudice*, but I like *Sense and Sensibility*.
Yeah, it's so good. It builds its characters so well. And you get an arc, even these like little small characters, and you just understand their motivations so well. And you wouldn't think that you could understand the motivations of characters with such a different society, but I totally do. And that, I think that's what makes her writing so timeless.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And I like that for the most part, they end happy, which is always something that I like in a novel because, you know, real life is sad. Sometimes you want your stories that you're escaping to have a happy ending. Everything works out.
Yeah. It's no Ethan Frome. Yeah. Like that. You're just like, why did I read this? This was so depressing. Yeah.
Sometimes I have to rewrite those stories in my head. There are stories that I'm like, well, the ending in the book was wrong. Let me tell you how it really ended.
Yeah.
Right. That's amazing.
They don't crash in at the bottom of the hill.
It was all a dream and they woke up and it happened.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So we know you like happy endings. That's part of it. But you've written four novels. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Four novels. So what do you like in particular, maybe aside from in addition to the happy endings about particularly writing romantic novels? What do you think is fun about it?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I love the characters. I think it's fun to watch somebody fall in love. And I love the strong females, and romance kind of centers around the strong females that always kind of find themselves in tricky situations and can navigate themselves out. And I love that aspect of it. And I love the female relationships, all the friendships is a fun part to talk about. And all of my stories have those really strong female friendships in them that are fun to celebrate and talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're going to talk about your newest one in a minute, but I will say that was one of my favorite parts was the closeness of all the friends there. You know, I always worry in some of these that there's going to be some sort of temporary side story rift, and it makes me so sad. It makes me so uncomfortable, but these girls all just really love each other. And even the guys, like even the guys that get roped in, it was one of the parts I really enjoyed.
Mm. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I think the four friends in this book are really fun. And that was one of my favorite parts of writing this one, were those friendships.
You could tell, yeah.
So how did you end up writing for Hallmark? Did you just submit your book?
Or? I did, yeah. I am one of the ones that submitted on an open call. And it caught Stacy's eye, and she gave me a call. So I actually received the call from Stacy from an open submission. So I encourage anyone that has a story that they want to submit, it does happen. They find you from the open submissions, and it can turn into a book. And the cover's gorgeous. So, like, sometimes I look at it and think, hey, that's mine. I did that.
So did you have to change it around for writing for Hallmark, or did you write it with Hallmark in mind?
You know, I wrote it. I'm a huge Hallmark fan and have been for years. I watch their movies all the time. And so I wrote it thinking that's kind of just my genre. It's a natural fit. My other novels kind of fall into those same category of just fun, lighthearted, sweet romance. And so it felt right to go with Hallmark. So kind of I have it in mind for Hallmark. There was, we went through edits and we changed a few things, but for the most part, it's the original book that was in the open submission.
Very cool. That's really fun. I just wondered because I felt like it was a little bit more, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but I felt like it was a little bit sexier than a typical Hallmark book. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but I don't know. I just really enjoyed sort of the dishy descriptions of Aiden and his hair, or like Brody and all this. I thought you did a really good job.
A little scandalous. Yeah.
So just a little bit. I don't want people to be scared off of it, but no. It was just a little bit more dishy than the other ones that I've read.
Yeah, it was this dishy from the beginning. So apparently it can be. I think that there were, you know, Aiden is just kind of lends himself to that. I think from the very beginning, Stacy wanted to say, I want to call him sexy, but we can't. So let's find other words. Because he just kind of is in the book. And so that's a fun part. I think he is my favorite character. Male character that I've ever written, and so it's real fun to see him kind of come to life in the pages.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
So, but why don't you tell us and the listeners a little bit about Beach Wedding Weekend is the name of your new book. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
It is the story of Paige, whose ex-boyfriend comes back in town. She was pretty convinced that he was the one that she was going to end up with, but he has a new girlfriend, and they all are going to this beach wedding for the weekend at the same beach that they've all been many times before, and she comes up with this plan to try to get him back by making him jealous. So she fakes this relationship with her friend's brother, Aiden. And they go into this weekend thinking or acting like they are together. And in the midst of acting like they are together, they realize that maybe there have been some feelings there all along. And that's really who she wanted to be with from the beginning.
Those fake relationships will get you every time.
Oh, every time. They're just so fun, aren't they? The fake relationships when neither one of them see it coming.
Yeah, why do you think that's such a fun trope in romantic comedies? Why do you think it works so well?
You know, I think it's that the reader is in on the secret, that maybe they even know before they know what's going on before the characters know what's going on. And so it's always fun to have the inside scoop, to be the one that knows the secret and to watching them kind of figure it out. That's what's fun for me about it.
It is for me too, because it's almost like you start to, when you know that they're going into a fake part of it, for me personally, I always feel like the characters are a little bit more freer, a little bit more playful, because there's no stakes at the beginning and they're just like, oh, we're just doing this for fun. And so all these little cutesy moments happen and these little cutesy like date type things, and they're just kind of being free, and there's no, you know, like, do they like me? Do they not like me? You know? And so, because it's all fake. And so as the reader, you keep picking out all these moments that you're like, shut up, they're starting to like each other. And it's all fun and it just kind of ramps up and you're like, yes, it's happening.
Yes. Yeah. It does kind of take the risk out of it in the beginning because there's nothing, you know, to lose.
Right.
Because she's got something else going on. And I think it being out of town, taking the romance somewhere that's not on their home turf kind of helps with that too. So having the fake boyfriend and a vacation on top of it, I think they really are both a lot freer than maybe they would be in a normal scenario. So it's fun to kind of see that.
And can I ask you real quick while we're talking about location?
Yeah.
One of the first things that drew me in the first like few pages was that it was set in Texas because I'm a native Texan.
Oh!
I was going to ask, are you from Texas?
I am from Texas. I live in the Woodlands, north of Houston.
Okay, good. Because I was like, because the descriptions were making me laugh because, I mean, there are certain times of the year it doesn't matter how well you try and get ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to mess up as soon as you open that door.
Terrible. So there might be some personal experience in some of those, especially when there's a scene kind of towards the beginning where Paige is all dressed up trying to impress him and she gets out in heels and has to walk up 5 flights of steps and the humidity's just killed her hair. And there might be an actual place that those stairs exist in a time when that humidity might have happened.
I was going to ask you that. Is Hilltop based on any place in Texas?
You know, yeah, it's, there is a resort that, my family goes, we meet some good friends, every year, and, Hilltop is loosely based off of that with it's in the Texas Hill Country. It just has big sweeping views that are gorgeous and breathtaking. But there are hills, so you've got to walk up them. In the Woodlands, we don't have hills, so this is different for us to see the big sweeping views. It's based off of kind of a combination of a lot of places in the Texas Hill Country.
That's awesome. That's where my
husband. If you're listening out there and you've never visited the Texas Hill Country, you should put that on your
to-go list. When it's bluebonnet season because it'll take your breath away.
For sure. Yeah. And there's not a lot of humidity in March, so it's cooler. You won't have the problem that Paige had.
I just loved it because it was cracking me up. You were like, who picked these longhorn orange dresses? And I was like, I know exactly what she's talking about. And that would have been me because, yes, I grew up a huge longhorn fan. So I was like, that would have been me making people wear those dresses.
Did you have orange bridesmaid dresses in your wedding?
Well, I had orange in my wedding, but it wasn't longhorn orange. It was.
Okay. And unless you're a Texas fan, burnt orange is just a special color. So I think putting that in a wedding is just
even though I'm a huge Longhorn fan, I always have been since I was little, I would never actually choose burnt orange as my, it made me laugh when you put it in the book. Cause I was like,
Well, I mean, I think a lot of brides are intent on making sure that the bridesmaids look not as good as they. So I think maybe bright orange might be the way to go.
I have to say that was just my imagination. I've never actually been to a wedding that had 8 bridesmaids dressed in burnt orange chiffon. But you know, if you were listening and that is you, then I think send us a picture because we'd like to see it.
Then send me pictures because I'm in.
if you had any school colors as your bridesmaids dresses, let us know. More power.
You know, I'm in Fort Worth right now with my family, and TCU is here, and their colors are purple and white, which would make lovely bridesmaids' colors if that's the route you're trying to go. So I don't know if you're picking a college, maybe that's a criteria. What would make good bridesmaids' dress colors?
You got to get an MRS degree when you go to college, right?
Well, I mean, that's where they all met their best friends. So you might at some point have to stand in somebody's wedding and burn orange. So I don't know. Could play into your factor.
That's right. That's funny. Okay. So I think the three main characters, at least that stuck out to me, you have Paige, Aiden, and Brody. And so I was going to ask you, like, how did you come up with these characters? Were they based on people that you know? Or they maybe you want to admit, I don't know, you don't want to admit, and what do you kind of think is special about each of these three characters?
Okay, we'll start with Paige because she is my stories usually start with the female lead, just because I think that's who I usually the first scene starts with her, and so that's kind of where I'm coming from. She, I love writing stories about weddings, and so just having a wedding coordinator sounded fun, and I've done that in books before. I've had wedding coordinators, but never, you've never seen them coordinating the wedding, so I thought this would be fun to see that, and to kind of see her doing such a great job doing weddings, but not really succeeding in her own life. In that romance department. So kind of, you know, she's great at planning it, but not great at doing it herself. So that's kind of where we were at the beach. And I saw a wedding and I thought, man, it would be really fun to write a story about a beach wedding and kind of the aspect of the people behind it. So that's where Kana Page came in. I like her because she's really, positive, and things don't get her down. Like, a lot of things get thrown at her and she kind of just goes with it. She's able to change with things, which I like about her. She's happy and fun. Aiden came up because I needed somebody for as planned as Paige was, I wanted him to be as the opposite. He's doesn't commit to anything. He's carefree. He's really laid back. There are never plans. She's always early. He's always late. So he just kind of came naturally from what would be opposite of Paige. And his occupation, because he's a little different. He's an entrepreneur who starts businesses and then sells them. So he has no commitment at all. And that did come from a couple. We have a couple of friends who do things like that, and it just intrigues me to how you could start this really successful business, come up with a great idea, and then let it go when the time was right. So that's kind of where his inspiration is. Oh gosh, and Brody, we all just need somebody that we love to hate, and so that was kind of Brody. He's really pretty from the outside, but man, there's not much else going on there. He's kind of lost, and I think you can see kind of really towards the end that he's still looking for things and maybe needs a little more help than he thinks he does.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really see Brody as a villain type character. Did you, Lisa?
Well, not until the end, until the car ride. There was and I don't want to give it too much away because, you know, I want people to read this and think, have their own experience with it, but there was a certain thing that he said in the car ride when I was like, sir, no.
Yeah, he wasn't a good match for Paige, obviously. Right.
Yeah, no, and not that he was a bad guy, just, yeah, I don't think he was ready for anything real, but yeah, for sure he wasn't right for Paige.
He could be tricked into... because Paige and Sasha are different and he liked them for, you know, he kind of changed himself to be with them. So he needed to kind of figure out who he was and what he wanted. But yeah, he was pretty to look at. So that was, which I hope comes across in the book, because in my mind, he was very handsome.
Yeah, he made me the guy who's in love with business at the beginning of a Hallmark movie. And by the end, he will be reformed. He just needs his own arc. It'll be great.
He does. Maybe he needs his own story.
Yes.
Let me think on that. We'll get him squared away.
Okay. Because he seems like the kind of guy who's just not, doesn't want to be alone. Maybe it's not so much he's like super in love with love, but it's just like, I always have a girlfriend. And then the moment he really doesn't have a girlfriend, he's like, oh, what do I like to do? What do I like to do just on my own? And maybe he finds out how he likes to do things and then he meets someone.
Yeah, maybe I need to get my note cards out. We could start plotting it right now.
That's great. Well, and why do you think that Aiden is such a commitment phobe? What do you think it's just a matter of just kind of, he hasn't quite grown up until he realizes that he has something more in a relationship with Paige, or why do you think he's so afraid of it?
That's a good question. I think he, I think there's that element of if you get too involved, there's more risk of getting hurt. And he is pretty fun and carefree and doesn't want the drama or the pain. And so as long as he's not committed, things are fun and carefree, and he can walk away when they're not, he's not involved in it. But I think he realizes at the end that that sometimes walking away has its own pain attached to it, and really he's been missing out by not committing to different things. So hopefully that's what he learned going through his journey with Paige.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and then Paige, and she wasn't just like sort of a boring workaholic. She, like you see in a lot of these movies, and she didn't just give up everything that she had for a guy, which I appreciate. So I don't know. I feel like her transformation was pretty nuanced, I think.
Yeah. She, I think she just found who makes her better, which I think that ultimately when we fall in love with the right person, that's what we're looking for, is somebody who makes us the best version of ourselves. And so Paige really didn't. She didn't have to give up her job. I think she probably is better because of Aiden's influence in her life. And so that was, I think that's kind of fun to see her, not really, her arc was just kind of finding the right person that made her the best version of herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned that you love the beach. Was that fun to sort of write a story on the beach and capture that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. That is so fun. I have loved the beach since I was tiny. And so, yeah, it's a big escape to get to write about being on the beach. And there were a lot of times that I thought, man, I wish I was there and not here in my living room writing this. But I think the beach is really calming, and I love the sound of the waves. I love the sand. I love the way that, you know, it feels when the sun is warm and shining on your skin. And so a lot of that comes in to this book and writing that. And so it was really fun to create these scenes and expand on these scenes, because I a lot of times could feel like I was there as I was writing it, which hopefully comes out too, that you'll feel like you're there while you're reading it.
It was amazing. Now, were you talking about a specific place in Florida? Like, were you thinking about specific Florida beaches? Is this one of those things? Because a lot of people, you know, in the South, that's what they do. They just go this way to Florida. So
yeah.
That's something you guys always did, or?
You know, my mom is from Miami. So we grew up going to Florida several times a year to visit family, always in Miami. It wasn't until I was older that we started going to the Florida Panhandle, because it's a little bit closer to Texas. You can actually drive there. You can't really drive from Texas to Miami. And this book is actually set on the Florida Panhandle. And it was from, I used an actual place. Seacrest is an actual place on the Florida Panhandle. It's off of 30A. And it was, I had gone on a trip with some girlfriends, and it was gorgeous. The place that we stayed is the inspiration for the place that the girls stay in the book. And we had that same balcony that looked out over the water, and you could see the dolphins and the stingrays swimming down there. The beach was gorgeous. And so it just, even when I was there, I thought, this needs to be in a book, because it's that beautiful and breathtaking. And so that was really, I had pictures lined up as I was writing this, so I could really pull from those actual images of being there.
Yeah, it was almost like its own character, because you felt super there, which was awesome. I just, you know, and I don't mean to keep bringing it back to this, it's just growing up, you know, the closest beach for us was Corpus, and that sand is brown and the water is green. It's not like beaches in other places. So I was always like, whenever somebody describes a beach, I'm like, that's not how the beach is. But yes, in regular places, yes, that's the way the beach is.
Well, and the Florida Panhandle is even different, because they have that, like, sugar white sand. Yeah. It's powdery and just soft and gorgeous.
Yeah.
I actually brought home from there two water bottles full of sand on the plane, which that's real fun to go through TSA with.
Oh.
So that I can put, like, I usually have a candle display with shells that we picked up and that white sand because it's so pretty.
That's a cute idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll steal that.
Yeah, I love the beach. Nothing will make me happier. Even though I haven't been in quite a while, even just thinking about it, I love the beach. I love the ocean. It's just so calming and so peaceful. I love being in the water and just feeling the roll of the wave. Mm-hmm. And it's the best. So I'm with you there. So, and I thought the whole scene with the dolphins was really fun.
Okay, so that that was a fun scene, and I have actually experienced that with we went kayaking with a few friends. The pod was not that big, and there was not a baby, but I have kayaked with the dolphins, and they are just such amazing animals. So yeah, that scene's really fun. That was fun to write and fun to wish I could do again, or to that magnitude.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's too bad you couldn't just have a trip to the beach just as research. You know, I figured that'd be a good thing about writing a beach book. It'd be like, I have to go because I need my research.
I agree. I think maybe I need some follow-up research just to make sure I did it right.
Yes.
If you need any assistance,
Right.
Let us know. So very cool. Well, it's always kind of, I really enjoyed also the dancing scenes. I thought you did a really good job sort of making those scenes really palpable and the tension and the chemistry, really well done. And, were those scenes fun to write, the dancing scenes?
They were really fun to write. I like when the emotion starts to really ramp up. And that scene, the one scene in particular where things kind of start to shift and Paige realizes that, okay, maybe I have been looking at the wrong person the whole time. I think that whole scene was just really, I wanted that, all the emotions to be running through there, that excitement and kind of the nervousness and kind of the fear of what if I leave everything I thought I wanted behind and go with this new thing. And so bringing all of that in and even the heightened awareness of being on the beach with the waves and the lights and everything that came, the sand, I kind of wanted all of that to be bringing all of their senses of what they were going through. So yeah, that was really fun to write and kind of imagine. And that's where it's fun to be an author because, you know, I can make it sound really great. I don't know that the acoustics on the beach would really be all that great in real life. Maybe the sand would kind of get annoying, but in the book, it's nice, right?
Definitely fun. So if you were going to cast, if they were making a Hallmark movie off of Beach Winnie Weekend, and you were going to cast it off of our Hallmarkies, actors, our Hall Stars, we like to call them, who would you pick for your main three roles? Do you have any ideas?
Oh, gosh. Out of mind? No. And, you know, I look through them all the time and think, she would make a great Paige. And then I'll watch another one and be like, oh, no, that's Paige. And then, so no, I have no, I have kept that my mind from going too far into casting it. But what do y'all think? Who would you pick?
Because I have ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, tell us.
Okay.
Sure. You go first, Lisa.
Okay. So for Paige, all I kept thinking about, because she's so bubbly and she's so like happy and tries to make the best of everything, I kept thinking of Rachel Boston. Because she's so cheerful and she's so perky, and I could just totally see her in that. And then for the guy, for Aiden, I kept thinking about Steve Lund.
Oh, you're pretty good.
He's so tall and dreamy, and he can play that really like, not really like tied down anywhere, but then he has that really good way of looking like super like swoony. Mm-hmm. So These are all very professional terms I'm using here. So I
no, I think definitely swoony is required when yes. we're casting Aiden. They should put it on their list. Okay.
That should be an official word. Yep. Mm-hmm. So those are who, wow. And then as far as Brody, I didn't get that far.
Okay. I think I would have Marcus Rosner play Aiden. I think he would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. I like that choice too.
He would be perfect because he's always played the other guy for so long anyway. He's just started the last couple of years to get some of these leading roles, but I think he would fit it perfect.
And he's really good at being flirty.
He would be really good. And then I thought maybe for Brody, I might have Peter Porte. Might be fun.
Yeah,
very handsome. But I think he could kind of pull off the more. I think he could do the sort of the more unlikable traits without making him an unlikable character. I think he could do it. And I don't know. Paige is a little bit trickier. I think almost any of the leading ladies could pull it off. But I think it would be interesting to see Marcus and maybe Danica.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't 100% decided on Paige, but I think Rachel Boston is actually a brilliant choice. And I think she would have good chemistry with Marcus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Be fun. We should call Hallmark and tell them. Yeah. I already casted it.
Right.
They should just go ahead and make it into a movie.
Totally. Yeah.
I mean, I also do think Paul Campbell would be a great Aiden. He would be wonderful too.
I do like him. Yeah.
He's
he is doing a movie with Rachel Boston.
That's right.
Oh, we can check out their chemistry.
Yes.
And they're starting to film in Florida. So see, it's all just coming together.
Yeah.
I also thought of a little bit, maybe Mayor Patterson might be good as Paige. Ooh. You could kind of see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we've got it. We got it ready to go. It's our summer night movie next year.
Yeah. I think they could do it.
Yeah.
Summer nights, or it could be a June wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Duh. It could be a June wedding movie. Yeah. That would actually be a good one, unlike most of them. So that's a lot of fun. And if you're listening and you read the book and you have your own casting suggestions, let us know in the comments. We'd love to hear. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
So we like to end our interviews with what we call the Teen Beat questions. These are just our silly little fun questions that Amber found in an old issue of Teen Beat. So
all right, give them to me.
Ready? All right. What is the best ice cream flavor?
Well, mint chocolate chip, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, in the book, they have different ideas, but mint chocolate chip.
Yes. Okay, good. What is your favorite color?
Yes.
Green.
Oh, very on brand. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. What music are you listening to right now?
Ooh. Right now, Ed Sheeran is on the top of my playlist. I'm kind of at summery here, so I'm kind of throwing some reggae in there right now.
Ooh.
Wishing I'm at the beach. I'm trying to get through my day, right?
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay. What is your go-to date night food?
Oh, gosh. Tacos.
Mm.
God, is that a date tacos. Night food?
Yeah, it's an anytime food.
Okay.
It's always
tacos. Yeah, tacos.
Yes.
All right. What is your go-to date night activity?
Ooh, well, it depends on if we are in the Woodlands or if we're on vacation, which is normally at the beach. My favorite date activity, if we're on vacation at the beach, is stand-up paddleboarding. Okay. I like active dates.
Yeah.
If we're going to a date night in the Woodlands, we usually have dinner. We're kind of boring.
Yeah, hey. You can go out and have tacos and talk. It sounds good to me.
I know.
Do you have kids?
I do have kids. I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. So anytime we can have adult conversation and nobody interrupts me, I think it's like a solid win of a night.
Agreed. Yeah. So yes, dinner is awesome. When nobody's saying, wait, can you get me water? And you're like,
thank you. Or cut this up, or can I eat your taco?
Yes. Okay.
I'll trade you my chicken nuggets for your taco. And you're like, yeah, I told you to order the taco to begin with. Nobody wants the chicken nuggets.
Okay, good. We're on the same. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Dogs or cats?
Oh, gosh. That's an unfair question. I like them both. And one of my children loves dogs and the other loves cats. So I feel like I would be choosing between. So I'm going to have to go with both on this.
All right. We'll That's allow a good it. Answer. Yeah. We'll allow yeah, thanks. It. Okay. Beaches or mounds? I think we already maybe know this.
They're clearly beaches.
Yes. Okay, good. Do you like being in getting all in a fancy dress or being at home in your sweats?
Oh, fancy dress.
Oh.
Fancy dress. I love being in my sweats too, though, but I don't know. It's fun to dress up with, yeah. you know, the fun, fancy shoes.
Ooh, yes. Are you a big shoes person?
I like the fancy shoes if I'm getting dressed. Yeah, yeah. The heels and all pretty. Yeah.
I'm just not a very talented walker. That's my only struggle with those fancy shoes.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't have to be. Did you read the book? Sometimes bad things happen in shoes, but it's okay. It'll all work out.
It's feet.
That's true. I forgot about that with the shoes. That's a good point. All right. And what is your favorite holiday to celebrate?
Oh, Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm like very, you know, Hallmarky over here. Like fancy dresses, the beach, and Christmas.
Well, what is your favorite Hallmark movie? This is very difficult.
Oh, gosh. I can only pick one.
You can pick as many as you want.
My favorite one that maybe just came out, I really liked Love in a Bottle.
That one's really cute.
I think... Pearl in Paradise was a kind of a fun one because it was different. It was very different than what they do a lot. So I think that would be on my top list.
And Christopher Plaha wore dad clothes the whole time. And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
It was just, and I love that she was more adventurous and athletic than he was. So there are a lot of things about that one I thought were really fun.
Yeah.
You saying that, it makes me realize that Jill Wagner could be Paige.
Oh,
yeah, I really like her, and I thought about that because she can be, you know, peppy and adventurous.
She's a
she
lot.
She would get in a kayak.
Yeah, that would be fun. I could watch that. Yeah, so maybe it's true for you. Hallmark. I just died laughing at their ad campaign for Bottle with Love. And they were like, "Is it you won't watch a better movie this year?" I'm like, "What? What's going on?"
I didn't think it was cute with the bottle and the. Yeah. I don't know. It was a fun one. Every once in a while, I'm like, "Oh, that one just warms my heart." But what was my daughter was just has been watching one this week that she's told me was her favorite. I can't remember which one it was. They just all kind of. Yeah, run continuously at our house. So I can't remember her favorite.
Do you have one at Christmas that you always just have to watch?
Let's see. You know, but I just have to watch all of them. And then they come back on, and every time I'm like, oh, this was my favorite. You're right. And then the next one comes on, and I'm like, this is my new favorite. I like the one with the shoes this year.
That one was really good.
Yeah. And let's see, would be my other Christmas favorite? That's unfair too. I can't pick a Christmas favorite.
You think it's funny, we were talking a couple weeks ago with Esther Hatch, a different author, and she's saying she get in the cycle and you watch one and then another one starts and you're like, oh, this is really fun. And then you watch before it, your whole day is gone. You have to be careful.
And then they do that really mean thing now where they put classic moments on there and you're like, you're right, that was a classic. Okay, now I gotta watch that one. So then you're all you're watching are Christmas movies, you know, and it's May. So
right.
Just keeping us glued. They know exactly.
They know. Well, this has been so much fun talking with you. I really appreciate you coming on and tell everybody where they can get the book and when it's available and all of that fun stuff.
Oh, and do you have any events coming up for the book?
Yes.
You know, there will be some events. You can find all of that at my website, rachelmcgeebooks.com. So go over there and you can find everything that's coming out. You can find, the book will be on Amazon, which, does anybody shop anywhere else? You can get it there. It comes out May 15th. You can also get it at Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com. It'll be in ebook, paperback, and audiobook. So whatever is your favorite way to enjoy a book, we've, the Hallmark's got them covered.
Yes, great. And do you, can you share how people follow you on social media, all that fun stuff?
Sure. I'm on Twitter. It's Rachel with two L's underscore McGee. And I'm on Facebook. So you can look at my Rachel McGee author Facebook page. Those are the two best ways to kind of stay up with what we're doing.
Great.
And, we've got a lot of fun beach and wedding themed stuff that will be around coming up on there. So if you're a beach and wedding person,
we'll have a lot of fun stuff. That includes most of the Hallmark audience, I think. Well, very good. We'll have all that in the description section. You guys should check it out. Make sure you're following Rachel on social media. And Lisa, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Girl Gone Hallmark.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews all over social media and on iTunes and YouTube. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod all over social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, if you can give us your ratings and reviews, really appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate that as well. And if you are interested, we have our Patreon that we've just set up that is a way for you to get some perks and benefits and have a little bit of fun with all of us on the channel. We certainly appreciate anybody who can support us on Patreon. So we'll have the link down if you want to check that out. So thanks so much, Rachel, for coming on the podcast. And we're really excited. If you guys read the book, let us know what you think. And in the comments or on Twitter, we can talk about it. It'll be really fun. And yeah, we will have to talk again. We'll have to talk again soon. Bye.
Right. Bye. Thanks for having me.
Bye, everybody.